Gone Radio, Chuck Dizzle, DJ Head up in here.
Hey, yo, you use all right a lot. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I know. I do. I said that today. I was listening. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway. And this show today is brought to you by the big homie, the little homie, the homie in himself, On This Date in hiphop.com. Y'all check out the homie, man. It's fucking funny motherfucker, man. He got some crazy
On This
posts.
Date in Hip Hop. Shout out to them because they gave me a birthday shout out.
Absolutely.
And totally fucked my drop up.
What you mean?
They edited the shit out of my drop and it was
it didn't sound right.
Nah, I did a drop on the toilet. And I was like, yo, On This Date in Hip Hop.
So somebody filmed you while you were on the toilet?
I filmed myself on the toilet.
Okay.
I did a drop for my birthday, and I appreciate how On This Date in Hip Hop editors took it upon themselves to chop my shit up.
They probably
didn't want to
see
old footage of me at 93.5 K-Day and shit.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. You sure?
Oh, yeah.
It was all that?
It's on this date. Log on to On This Date in Hip Hop on Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram at On This Date in Hip Hop.
But also shout out to them because they came up with that clever ass Bow Wow birthday shout out.
Oh shit.
I love that Bow Wow shout out.
It was birthday. Bow Wow's birthday.
See, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna hit you and then tell you I love you.
Yesterday. It's technically today. Bow Wow's birthday is today.
Oh, so Lupe said his birthday is today.
We're recording this on a Thursday, by the way. And I mean, I was gonna get into that because today, obviously, the bigger thing that people are thinking about is 20 years since the Notorious B.I.G. passed.
So you saying Bow Wow's insignificant?
And when it comes to B.I.G., hell yeah.
So you saying Biggie?
Yes. Biggie is more significant than Bow Wow in any terms, right?
So
as of right
Biggie,
now,
Biggie being it's 20 years since Biggie died.
Dying is more significant than Bow Wow's
still
birthday.
More relevant,
yes,
than Bow Wow.
Absolutely,
that's crazy.
That's the truth. I'm just saying.
Let me tell you what's crazy.
You know what's crazy? It's crazy.
What's crazy
is this?
What's crazy
is that it's 20 years, man, and people are still talking about this. Obviously, because of, you know, it happened right here in our backyard in L.A., man. Do you remember exactly where you were when that shit happened?
Hell no.
I remember exactly where I was. I was on a fucking fishing trip, and I came home.
What the fuck was you doing on a fishing trip?
Hey, man. I was catching fish. What the fuck you think?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, though.
I was catching fish, so it made sense. I was actually catching fish, and I came back and got the news that all the shit had already happened because there was no Instagram, was no Twitter, no social media. So when shit went down, the news had even carried the news in the morning. They weren't even doing shit at night. So when it happened at nighttime, by the morning time, you know, obviously Big had passed and, you know, the word it went around. And I just remember, I remember that for whatever reason, I don't know how I knew, but I knew that he was out here doing a press run for Life After Death. Mm-hmm. And immediately, because I think he did the Wake Up Show, and he did some press up north in the Bay, or just up north, I think Seattle or whatever. And I was like, yo, this may not be a good look for him to be out here right now, especially being so close to the whole you know, East Coast, West Coast shit. Pocket just died. It was just one of those crazy situations.
I don't remember none of that shit.
I remember.
I don't remember where I was at, who I was with, what I was wearing. I don't remember none of that shit.
Hold on.
All I remember about, like, the 90s is, like,
what, you don't remember shit from the 90s? What you talking about?
I do remember shit from the 90s. I remember Power Rangers.
Oh, you tripping, dog. I mean, yeah, I remember that, too. But when it came to, like, hip-hop shit, like,
that was
a significant
thing,
though,
bro. They had the little
black
boy dancing at the beginning of Power Rangers.
And you told me. I remember you said, you seen an interview.
Yeah, I saw an interview.
And he said he was, they told him that do
they
all that
told
shit.
The white people that produced the show.
That's fucked up.
The white people that produced Power Rangers.
God bless them. God bless them.
God bless the white people that produced Power Rangers, the TV show of the 90s.
And told Zach, the black
They told
Ranger.
The black guy to dance as the show was coming on.
Shuck and jive.
That's the first thing we want you to see is this black dude dancing.
That's crazy. Because they were doing the moves first, and then like, but he had to do a, like a little shuck
yeah,
and jive dance.
It wasn't shuck it or a jive. It was more like a... It was more like a chuck and
now, don't try
and,
to alternate the words right now. You know, let's call it for what it is. He was shucking.
He wasn't shucking.
He wasn't?
No.
But he seemed like he wanted to do it, though. Because I actually tried to look for that interview. I didn't find it. But I saw another interview.
I'll send you the link.
Yeah, please.
We can put it up on the website.
All right, man. What else happened like within the last couple of days, bro?
Oh, you know what? I want to throw a special shout out to Nicki Minaj.
Oh, okay.
Because apparently this new record that she has is not good, according to Chuck Dizzle, by the way.
Yeah, I'll tell you straight up. It's
Chuck Dizzle actually heard the record. I haven't heard the record.
The record's out. The record's out. It's released. You know what I'm saying? And I just think that what had happened was for the timing that happened, like, in between all this shit, now that people hear this, they're gonna look at it like it's gonna be the same way Meek responded to Drake. They're gonna
so
be like, okay,
you saying that Meek's week is contagious?
Hey, if you say so.
All right,
DJ Head, quote that.
All right,
is that what you're saying?
Wait, she did a diss record with Wayne and Drake on it?
Exactly.
Why the fuck would she do that?
Exactly. So what I'm saying is, like, for the context of everything that's going on, you got your heavy hitters on there too, and it's just not, I don't know, it just doesn't make the impact. I'm sure people will be talking about it, but yeah, I think Remy got the upper hand on this.
All right, well anyway, fuck that.
In the house with us right now, man, we got the homie, man. I'm so glad we got dude in the house with us, because I think he loves LA just as much, if not more, than we do.
He don't love LA more.
I believe so. I think so.
I don't think so. Y'all some racist shit that you talking about right now.
What you mean?
You saying that I don't love LA as much because my demo don't matter as much as his.
Oh, see, I didn't even get into none of that. I didn't say none of that shit, man. We got Scoop DeVille in the house. What's going on, brother? How you living, man?
Good, man. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so glad
with y'all.
Absolutely. So
tell us how blessed you are to hang out with us right now.
I can't comment on the Nicki thing because I haven't heard it yet. But,
yeah, we might have to fucking figure a way how to play this shit in the middle.
No, we're not going
to
play it because they're going to take our shit down.
That's true. Yeah.
Off the
SoundCloud be tripping right now,
with
man.
Digital rights. So look that shit up yourself. If y'all listening live right now, then you probably heard it already.
Yeah, it's called No Fraud.
Listen to it and come back to it.
It's called No Fraud. So check it out.
I do feel blessed to be here with you right now, man.
Just me, not Chuck.
Man, fuck that. Don't listen to him, dog. Don't even do that shit, man.
Both of y'all, man.
Thank you, brother.
It's all love, man.
Chuck and don't.
It's the real LA love in here.
Okay. Absolutely. All right, see, there you see. He don't things that this
you don't
motherfucker
act crazy. None of that. We're good. It's natural.
Man,
natural.
Exactly. My dude, man. So for the people that aren't familiar with Scoop DeVille,
you know what I'm saying?
Let them know. Give them a brief rundown of who you are, who we're speaking to right now, bro.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much from Los Angeles, producer and MC. I'm working on a project right now. I've worked with a lot of many greats.
Yeah.
A lot of production for a lot of dope, legendary rappers and up and coming artists as well. But now I'm like, you know, taking the initiative to do my own thing. And man, it's nice to finally show people what I'm capable of doing aside from just the beats. They only think that, oh, I could just put these sounds together and you can take care of the lyrics. But really, like, behind the scenes, we're doing everything. We're
Absolutely.
Creating the hooks and creating the structures and the concepts of everything. So it's a little more in depth now.
Now, I mean, you've been around, like what you said, in the new record you got. We'll talk about that. You've been in this shit since you was two.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Break that down. Let people know. Come on, we got to talk that shit.
I said that because there's a record I was actually on at 2 years old with Ice-T and LL Cool J and, like, just a bunch of cats in that era that were doing – they had a nursery rap record. And they had hit my father up to be a part of it, and he had me rap with him on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, being in the
Who's
music,
your pop's name?
Kid Frost.
If you don't know, Kid Frost is a
Los Angeles West Coast, household name now.
Staple, man.
Definitely a staple, and innovator too, taking the culture and spreading it through everything, and giving me the opportunity to do it too, and on a big level.
Yeah. So back in the day, were you? When things like that were happening, when you had these monumental opportunities, do you really understand what's going on? Or you're a kid, like, hey, fuck it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, basically I was, because I wasn't, my father is my father. It's not like he's Frost.
Right,
people are like, yo, like, your dad's Frost. Yeah. No, get out of here. That's crazy. But really, just to be around it, it was normal. It wasn't really crazy. It was natural that I was going to do this because that was our, that's everything he put. That he put back into it. Yeah. So we had studios in the house, a lot of artists and musicians and dancers and DJs and graffiti artists, the whole culture, all the elements that
it's
make
right
hip hop was all around me. So it was only a matter of time until I started actually doing my thing.
Hey, salute to I want to throw a special salute to your pops too, because I actually made it down to, I think it was over in East Los, where he opened up that skate shop.
Yeah.
And I went down there and checked that shit out when he first opened it. Like,
awesome.
I talked to him. I went down there. And he literally, it was free to all the kids in the neighborhood.
That's amazing.
And it still is. Like, that. It's just a nice open place for kids to skate, make music.
Yep.
Like,
a studio.
Have clothes, create clothes, design. Like, it's just a nice thing to give back to the community, especially in our backyard with people who don't get the opportunities like we had. Or if we're able to just motivate somebody and give somebody a couple words and show them that, you know, this anybody could do this, yeah. you know, if you stick to it. And, you know, that's winning for us, too.
Now, I know it's natural. You say you had the studios in the house, you know, people from all parts of the genre, the culture just coming in and out.
He had white privilege.
At what point was there ever like an oh shit moment? Like, yeah, you know, your pops is Frost, but at what moment were you like, damn, this is different. Like, it's not just an everyday thing. Not everybody has a studio in the house. You don't just have rappers or whoever in there. Was there a specific moment that you can remember the first time you're like, oh, okay.
That's a good question. Yeah, there's a few moments. I mean, when he told me, like, yo, I think one day you need to miss out on this, on your school, and you need to come with me to go meet Snoop.
Crazy.
You know, so I had.
How old were you at this point?
I was about 15 years old, and this is when I first started making beats. But, you know, I always worked on you know, machines and different
beat machines
with Tony G and Julio G,
man,
and Fred Reck.
Shout out.
So,
man,
you know,
really
I
really was privileged.
I mean, not. I mean, yeah, I was privileged,
don't
but
lie,
I mean, this was
like,
a choice. This was my choice to do this thing. It's not like somebody like forced me to go ahead and do this.
That's dope to have that experience at
a
young age.
Of course. I mean, it wasn't necessarily that either. I mean, the moments I had with Fred were different. They were like, I had to like study the Bible and
wow.
write scriptures on what I was reading in order to even get in the studio with him. Mm-hmm. I had to break down like a paragraph on some knowledge.
Oh, so
shit.
They wanted you to be educated on other.
Well, I was watching them, you know, on the talk box, and I mean, really learning the musicality. Roger Troutman on the talk box, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, I mean, I'm in the room watching this happen, but it ain't like I'm a rapper or yo, this is my time, this is my father's thing, you know what I'm saying?
No, I know that, but I'm just saying to even have that experience, though,
it's dope. And I'm glad that,
like,
you know,
can go
I
go back to your memory. And
yeah, of course.
That at any time.
Of course,
crazy.
I think I do have an upper hand than I would say on production and music.
Yeah, because I was thinking I
just
because
of that alone. It's, I mean, that separates a lot from when you've been in the business your whole life. Like when I have my kids, they're gonna know everything I do, you know, from front to back. So they're gonna understand it and have an appreciation for it or whatever. Maybe I'll get to a point where they don't have to do it, but. You know, it's cool to, you know, to follow those footsteps. And, you know, my pops is still, he took it to a certain place. I want to take it to like the next third, fourth, fifth place, just so he can see what his legacy has done.
I'm just
to
coming
this
from
point.
The perspective of a fan where, like, at any given moment, you could, like, be in a studio and working on, you know, the Good Kid, Mad City album or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're working on the album and you'd be like, oh, I remember when Roger Troutman did this. Or I remember when Tony G did this. Or
yeah.
And then you have
in
that.
In a sense, kind of, but not lately. I haven't been doing that. Like, really, that all that stuff is kind of like, it's not the same as it used to be. Like, the machines are different.
Yeah, equipment
the
different.
Process is different. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, I still do like to use classic elements on creating these records because there's a difference when you're using these machines that they don't have no more. Everybody has every technology thing to make this perfect style of format, perfect loop,
it's not supposed
perfect
to go
kick,
like that, yeah.
perfect drum. And hip hop was never like that. We were using machines that didn't give you nothing but 1 or 2 seconds to sample.
Damn.
And you had to stretch that creatively. You couldn't just time stretch it digitally.
Yeah.
It ain't the same.
Yeah.
It don't sound the same. It don't feel the same. That's why certain records had a knock and a bounce when you heard it, and it chopped different.
It's kind of like playing the drums. Like, if you play the drums, it's going to sound different.
And I can understand that, too, and incorporate what that was like and put that into the new
that's
format.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I mean,
gotcha.
That, you know, that's all a part of learning your craft and mastering it too. And I'm still learning. I'm not like a master at it, but I know how to make a groove and I know what feels right. I know how to, you know, I could feel the music in a sense.
Now at 15, or when you were getting your introduction to the music side of it, like really being hands-on, mm-hmm. were you looking at it from the mindset of wanting to become an artist, or was it the beats and the production?
I was an artist before, really. Right. I think rhyming was the beginning of everything.
Gotcha.
And then DJing came after, and then making the beats 13, 14 with Tony and Julio, watching them make beats. And I, you know, At the time, I was rapping a lot, so I had signed a record deal with Jerry Heller and through Tony G and all them cats. So we worked on an album. We were working on records. I was in there after school going and you know, learning how to perfect what I was to do now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I never would have thought that I was going to be, like, you know, producing. Yeah, I thought it was just mainly, like, learning the studio ins and outs and figuring out how to work this myself so I didn't have to rely on Tony or Ronnie King or Julio or these cats showing me, you know, because they were with me every day working in these big rooms. And I was just, you know, in the back of the studio watching them, observing what they were doing, how they were chopping samples, how they were looping things up on vinyls and, you know, record shopping with these cats at a young age too. Like,
that's wild, man.
Yeah, man. It's not the same as it used to be, you know what I mean? But I feel like I'm kind of like the bridge between what's going on now and what kind of happened back then, and I try to infuse that together with the music, you know.
I was gonna say, how did you not get burnt out at it early on, or did you ever get to the point where you did get burnt out on it?
I don't think so, man, because music is just my true passion and happiness. It's not like a job, you know. Like, I would be doing this if I wasn't getting paid, you know.
Only reason I throw that out, cause my mom's made me play the fucking piano at 4, right? Dope. I started doing that shit. That shit was cool, but then I just didn't want to do that shit after a while. The lessons, and I wasn't disciplined enough to want to sit down and take lessons. Like you said, the craft and the art, like how Frederick showed you, like, yo, this is the history behind it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that mindset to want to do that at a young age. As I got older and when I started understanding, like, radio and music and low-key getting behind the beats at one point in time, I'm like, damn, that could have helped me if I would have stayed on point with that shit. But at a young age, I just didn't have the discipline to want to do that. So
it's a hard to prove yourself with a bunch of people who are grown, and you're just a kid. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Imagine that. Put yourself in my shoes, being 13, 14, and somebody saying, yo, Frost Son got beats.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? He's telling his friends that, but when we get together, it's like, it's actually showing that, yo, there's some truth to it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He believed in me enough to where I'm like, I need to really, like, perfect this and master it and learn it to do it for real, you know? Yeah. And it was all at my fingertips. So, you know, I think I would have been stupid if I wasn't going to do anything with it, you know?
Yeah.
Now, you coming up right now, like, doing your solo stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the subject matter that's passionate about? Like, what do you want to focus on with your project?
I mean, mainly I like to speak from just an honest place. The album is honest. The music is honest. There's nothing really too far-fetched from being, you know, like just a facade or what have you. Like, I want people to kind of, like, relate to the project and understand that, yeah, you know, I might have a little bit of privilege being around these hip-hop royalty and everything, but I did pay my dues and still paying my dues to do this. And it ain't easy. You know what I mean? Like, every day we put our money right back into this, and it's a constant thing, like, having to figure it out. And, you know, I find that too interesting to learn, and it's fascinating for me to understand that and know a little more to put an album together and to do it myself. You know, it took a minute to get it going, but now, like, I'm at a place where it can happen.
How do you feel about everything going? Because what's your heritage?
Mexican.
Well, how do you? So Mexican American. People who don't know. So how do you feel about everything that's going on right now, like, in the country with, like, as far as Mexicans are concerned?
I think there's just too many of us being quiet and no one's really
talking.
Yeah, there's not no one talking, but there's a lot of great, intelligent, you know, people that are behind the scenes and backbones of a lot of this industry that are, you know, brown and light skinned, and it's not just about being. Me, it was never about just Mexican this and Mexican that. My dad is, you know, we are Mexican, but at the end of the day, we all grew up in the same neighborhood. So I grew up around blacks and Asians and whites. And, you know what I'm saying? It's everybody. And it's all cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I grew up in Pasadena, so it was like a mixture of a bunch of people.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
a melting
what I'm saying?
Pot.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, why do you think, because we often had this conversation too, why do you think that, you know, especially being out here in L.A., that there's not right now somebody like a Mexican rapper that you can say the go-to person at this point?
I think that's the problem right there, is that we need to stop, like, putting a you know what I'm saying, a label on everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, why can't you just be a somebody who's speaking for the culture or really, really like doing this from a real place? Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. It's not about your skin color and or any of that. Like, there's some shit to be said right now. And if you're not doing anything about it or using your outlets to really get that point across, then that's your problem. That's why we're at where we're at right now.
Yeah.
And people don't take it serious. If you don't take our fucking, these are our ways of making it out and surviving and leaving a stamp on this world. If we don't take that serious, then you know what I'm saying? It ain't worth nothing.
No, I definitely get that. I just feel that you hear the argument, you hear that there's a lack of representation in the hip hop community from that. And I see like there's, you can find, that's the same argument that I see with that is the same way where people say, man, where's a dope artist at? You know, play that shit on the radio. It's like, all right, fuck the radio. There's other motherfucking artists out there that you can search.
It's not just the radio. That's the beauty of the time we're in right now too, is that real talent and things that are, you know, touching people in certain ways with culture and music and movies or whatever, anything entertainment like that. It's important, man. We got to do this and continue to build from a real place. I want people to know that it's not just, I'm not here making disposable music. You know what I'm saying? I didn't get in the industry to be a disposable artist.
Right.
I grew up listening to greats, Bob Marley's, you know what I'm saying? Rock music, everything, oldies, old school music, Roger, you know what I'm saying? Like all that. That's what makes me. And those are the things that, you know, that motivated me to do what I do now. And still to this day, like all my people ask me, what are you listening to? And I'm like, everyone is dead.
Right.
In my playlist. You know what I'm saying?
Crazy. Do you think that artists in particular should take more responsibility with social awareness?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you have that position, you know what
I'm
saying?
But the reason I'm asking is because everybody's...
I mean, it's cool to have fun. There's a time and place for everything. I'm not saying everything has to be about a message, but if you go back to the foundations of hip-hop and the age difference and the gap with people who don't understand what hip-hop is, there's a huge gap of people that don't know the meaning of it.
What it really is.
Yeah, because back then it was a message.
So you think the artist should take responsibility for that?
Of course.
What about the artists that don't feel any responsibility? That just like, I'm just here to get some money and have a good time.
I think they have they have their little their niche. You know what I'm saying? And everybody has their niche. It is what it is. But at the end of the day, you're not going to remember those records. I'm not going to remember them. I can't tell you a record.
Like you said, it's going to be disposable.
It is disposable.
In and out. Like,
no, because I remember I saw that clip of Young Thug, and he was like, man, they asked him about some shit, some real shit.
Right.
And he was like, man, I'm just out here getting money and fucking with some bitches. Like, I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm getting, you see me, I'm iced up. Like, it was like literally.
I think people shouldn't look to a Young Thug.
But that's
why
I'm asking him, because, like, I don't necessarily want to hear socially conscious music from Future.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
You're not going to get that. You might.
Now, if I heard one and it was like a dope song, I would probably be like, oh, maybe.
I think people like that have the power to make a dope song with a message.
So you would be.
Absolutely.
You would be open to that?
Yeah. I mean, why not?
I just don't know. I don't know. I'm literally ignorant. I don't know how I would respond to that. I don't know. I would depend
on
how
I guess it just
are.
has to be done right. You know what I'm saying? The problem with people is that they're worried that, oh, man, this is going to be corny if we talk about some truth. But what, I mean, since when has truth been ever been corny? You know what I'm saying?
Now, if anything, like, truth has come off as like you're a pessimist or you're a negative or all the shit I get.
I think to be honest with you, man, like I said, everything is for everything. I want to have a good time when I listen to certain music and celebrate life and party and hear stuff that is, you know, quote unquote nonsense. You know what I'm saying? Because it is good fun at the end of the day. Hip hop has always been fun. It's a young man's sport. So the direction that it's moving in, I'm not all the way mad at it. But these kids that are in these positions getting all the shine, they look for cats like us to educate them and show them what it is, because they didn't have that. They're in the position to do something really big. If you're that type of artist, then you know you're going to be educating yourself and learning where it comes from. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the beauty of where I'm at with being a producer, being that, like, you know, I'm not too old, but I'm, you know, I've been around a little bit to understand what this is and where it needs to go.
Do you like being the producer more, or do you like being the artist more? Man. If you had to choose one, you couldn't do one. You had to do one or the other forever.
Man, that's hard. I don't know, man. I mean, to be honest, I love making music altogether. It's kind of, I mean, being an art, I probably would just, a producer probably would be the
go-to.
The go-to, yeah, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I'm behind everything. So it could be behind the lyrics, behind all that. And not necessarily, I don't want to be like Mr. Popular Guy, you know what I mean? But I definitely know that I have something to offer to this culture, and I want to put it out there. And, you know, now's the time, I feel like, for it to come out.
Now, you talked about being the bridge between, you know, with the, I'm not going to say the old school way of doing the things, but the traditional ways of hip hop for the most part, and kind of being ushered into this new style, whether it be equipment or just how things are going. How do you sit there and I guess go with the transition? You know what I'm saying? How does it work for you? Like the age of social media, but then at the same time, the equipment and all that shit. Like, how do you still sit there and usher in the traditional ways, but still go with the new style of doing shit as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm inspired by a lot of the new, you know, ways of making records and the tempos, and you know, I'll pull from different elements or try to make my unique way of doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But taking elements like running my sounds through, you know, old equipment to give it a certain feel and a certain knock that you can't remake through the new technology.
I heard that's how they mixed Kendrick's Good Kid, Mad City. They ran that shit analog or some shit.
They was doing a lot of tape, who told me that? Cat, I think. Battlecat thing told me like a couple of things that they were doing.
I know the difference between when you play something on a vinyl and obviously like an MP3 or some shit like that. But like for the most part, subconsciously, a lot of people wouldn't register to the average person. Would you
some
agree
might even think it doesn't sound better, but it's funny to us because we, you know, it's the opposite for me. Like I like how things sound on vinyl, or I like how certain samples sound through beat machines because you hear certain parts that you never heard before. There's a certain air that you can get from the sound.
See, that's the as much as I love production in that sense, that's the shit that
tedious.
I love hearing from other people. Like I was talking to Terrace and a couple other people, producers especially. They said they see fucking sounds. I mean, they see colors. The sounds.
Do you
they
see colors? That shit. Like, and shit?
That shit
colors.
What the fuck is that
colors.
About? Colors. but that shit, like the way you just described how the beat machine has a certain air to it. Like,
yeah, I mean, well, that's the beauty of the computer is that you can see the wave. Mm-hmm. But think about it when you couldn't, like when literally it was like that,
right,
just buttons and knobs.
Oh, so that's why you had to see it in your
now
mind.
We can see it because I can visually pull it and make it huge and really like dissect any type of piece I want or make a little sound from a whole nother sound that you would never even know, right? You can manipulate a sound in any kind of way now.
Nah, fuck that. Tara said he sees fucking colors and sounds and shit.
I get where he
I don't know
no,
about
I
all that.
No, I get what you're saying, but I mean, what I'm saying is like,
that nigga crazy. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck he talking about.
I've heard Tara say that shit, and I've seen an interview where Pharrell said that shit, and I'm like, well, damn, are these niggas like really gifted on some other shit?
Weirdos.
Hey, but see, that's the thing. Like, if you look at it like, and it's no knock or no diss.
I mean, there's a certain feel that you get from creating music. You got to think about that, listening to something over and over and over and over and over until you get it right.
Yeah.
Like listening to something for hours and then, you know, you might hate it, but I'm loving it because I'm continuing to build it and I'm hearing things as I go. I'm like, oh, I could continue to make this thing sound the way I need it to. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
But opposed to like someone who doesn't understand the process or the patience or any of that, like it's, You can't deal with
that shit. Always amazes me because the thing is, you're doing this for yourself, obviously, right? But you do this also for the consumer for the most part. You know what I'm saying? You would hope that you do this music to inspire the people, like give whatever.
Well, we never really had that. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, we had to be kind of fresh to get the cosign from Snoop.
Gotcha.
And to have Jay-Z on a record and to get Busta to be calling my phone and Fat Joe and all these cats to be like, yo, can I get that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like it's just, oh, you're just an associated cat. Like, mm-hmm. I'm, you know, I really was, you know, making my rounds and figuring how to get in these sessions, figuring out how to get the music out there and being around things that, you know, you wouldn't normally be around. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, being in a room with B-Real and Snoop and my dad, and they're just being themselves, and I'm just in, you know.
Who's called your phone, and you looked at it, and it was like, I call him back?
What do you mean? Like,
you know,
oh,
what,
like,
the fuck I mean. Like, he's like, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
You know what I'm saying? Like, do you cheat on your wife? What you mean? You know, like, man. What I'm saying? Like, when you know how you look at, like, when your phone buzz, right? You got on vibrate, you chilling, you on the Madden, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So when your phone rings and you look at the screen, what name pops up and you put the phone back down, like, oh, I'm going to call him back?
Like not right now kind of thing? Man, I don't even know.
Like, when does that happen? Give me a name. Anybody.
I won't be specific, but, I mean, it just depends. I guess it's the right timing. You know what I'm saying? There's levels to your time.
There's levels to this shit.
There really is. Because,
so,
I mean, think about this. Like,
time
think about this. I'll think to myself, like, all right, when's a good time to send this record to, let's just say, Snoop,
mm-hmm.
right? All right, let me go look at his Instagram real quick.
See what he's doing.
Let me see what he's doing.
Yeah.
Okay, the game's on. There's a Steelers game on. He's going to be watching this game.
Don't fuck with
wrong time.
Oh, halftime is on, though. Cool? Shoot it to him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I wouldn't even sit in the halftime.
It's time. Timing. Everything is timing. You know what I'm saying?
So you real strategic with the way you do your shit.
I mean, yeah. You got to be,
that's why,
man.
Your accolades look like that.
I'm a L.A. native.
Yeah,
right?
It
of
makes
course.
Sense. You know what it is.
Yeah, this is all experience and learning and knowing when to talk and when not to talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, and not necessarily being in a position where this just my life changed overnight, but it's like, you know what I mean? I like that it's a challenge. I like that I have the hunger still to make dope shit. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And go shop for vinyls and do things that you don't do. Yeah. You don't work on these beat machines.
Right.
You don't think the way I think. Cool. That's the way I get down. You're going to come to me for that sound. You know what I'm saying? And it's dope to me. I find that dope, man. Everywhere I go, I try to touch a record shop. And a lot of my friends are like, man, what are you doing? Like, buying records. And nah, I'm good. I'm going to go to the hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm hopping in the Uber going to go get vinyls and no sleep. But I know when I get home, I'm going to have all this great stuff to play with. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Now, how would you describe your sound in, let's say, three words?
Man. Let's say, I don't know, man.
Just choose three.
Definitely culture. What would you say, like, pressure-wise? Like, something like, this means a lot to me. You know what I'm saying? So, pressure-wise, this is
we asked you for the words.
I can't think of the word to describe what it is. You know what I'm saying? But it's definitely there. Like, it takes a lot from me. It's passionate. It's, you know, it's timeless.
Gotcha.
Like, that's timeless.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
What were those three?
Passionate, timeless, and culture. And the first one, culture.
Culture.
Yeah. More of a responsibility, because I think of that as well. Like, it's more of a responsibility that you have, and I feel like that is a lot of pressure too. You know what I'm saying? Like, big that time. That you would have.
I mean, I think I put it on myself though. Yeah. You know, my father he did it at a certain level, mm-hmm. and was in a position where it's not like people were believing he was an MC. Mm-hmm. He was a different looking person, different from a different place, from
right.
a, you know what I'm saying? So everything was like, we had to kind of come twice as hard.
Yeah,
everything had to be official. So it took me a minute to make my first album. You know what I'm saying? I don't just want to throw anything out. I have records of just raps and beats and for days. I have a lot of that stuff, but none of that stuff is being used. All the, now it's like, now I'm like, okay, I know what I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to understand. It took me some lessons to be learned. But man, it's all speaking from an honest place, and the music is gonna speak for itself.
Yeah.
It's and you're not gonna be able to put a race on it. Mm-hmm. It's gonna speak for everybody.
I think the biggest question that most people would have, like me, like myself, is why now?
Because
I noticed, like, a lot of producers. Not a lot of producers. There's a couple of producers who
I think I see a lot of people doing their own thing now more so than ever, because they understand the business of you need to put yourself forward,
yeah.
as well. Not only build for others. And you know, it's good to always contribute to your fellow neighbors, especially if you're all in the same camp or the same, you know, family, so to say. You know, so being a contributor to the culture is important for me. At the same time, helping people make their ideas or their dreams come true. You know what I'm saying? I can make a dream come true right now. I could respond to somebody and go, yo, man, come to the studio, man, and I will record you and make the hottest shit for you. And right away, that their life is going to change. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good question. Yeah. Like, what would you tell yourself now? What would you tell the, I guess, the 15-year-old, 13-year-old Scoop DeVille, what you know now? Like, if there's anything you can just transfer,
pull them aside and like, yo,
and give them game as a writer. You can change somebody's life. What would you tell the older version of yourself?
Don't fuck with that.
The
big younger version.
there's a couple things, but I mean, I would probably say is just to make sure you keep your real like family and people you always have with you. You're gonna have to change up and go search for something if you know what I'm saying, like. Because that was a thing, too, having to figure this out on my own a little bit. You know, my father, he was in a position at the time working on his music. But, you know, there wasn't really too much time for me. I really had to put the hours in to make beats and to make everybody like go, oh, he got some shit.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Right.
So, yeah, I mean, definitely to keep those core people around you that believed in you from the beginning and grow with them, because you don't need to go and grow with a bunch of other people that sometimes that can ruin your pureness or your purity. You
Before
know what
I
mean?
Even knew who you were, like my manager, he was like, yo, Scoop DeVille is like one of them dudes. Like, I'm telling you, he would always like, I didn't even know. I shit you not. He would always tell me like, yo, Scoop is one of them dudes. Like, cause he has this thing about people who can actually play, who can play, you know, can play for real as well as beat make and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then also sound selection, because like you said, the reason why I'm what made me think of that is when you said, when we described the three words, right, and you said timeless, which is one of them, which and I'm going in through my head and I'm thinking of like let's say the recipe or like things that you touched, was it like Life at a Party, different, it doesn't sound dated but it does have a classic feel to it.
Yeah,
it don't sound old. But it don't, it, you know what I mean?
But it like sounds it, like it's this, timeless, it's here to stay, or it's been here already. It's
yeah,
established.
So it does have that feel.
It has
to
an
it.
Authenticity
so like,
feel to it.
What goes into your like, is that like some? Do you do like? Do you want? Are you one of those people who take hours and go through sounds and fucking all that? Kind
not
of
really, man. Nah,
no,
I mean,
he's like, it's not that deep, bro. I just fucking go.
I just go, man. Sometimes I just go for it. I'm not gonna sit here and make up a bunch of fairy tales about making music. You know what I'm saying? I'm just gonna tell you right now. If I feel it, I go for it.
Yeah.
And there's no timing on it. Bize will tell you. He'll be like, yo, you got to go do this, and I'm like, nah, man. I'm over here in the studio right now. I gotta go on this right now. He's like, all right,
handle your business.
You got to do it, because you know, at the end of the day, when I deliver the product, it's gonna work. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll give you a story. I recently did this show. I did a reality show with these kids called Versus, and it's a contestant show of these kids trying to, you know, get a record deal and be heard. And they're up there doing their stuff. I pick a team, and then the other producer, Sonny Digital, he picked his team. So we pretty much had to produce our teams, and whatever team won makes it to the next round. And then my team has to compete with each other, or his team has to compete with each other.
That's a crazy concept.
Yeah, so we were thrown in a crazy, crazy thing, because it started raining crazy, and, you know, the power went out at our building. We lost power for hours, and we're under a deadline. We got to get this record done in the matter of, like, 5-something hours. So we really only had a few hours to get it done. I'm in headphones. All the kids are just around me. We have candles. We're not letting the time go by. We're all building, and nobody really has their phones or nothing like that. It's like, it was more like we're all personally connecting with each other and chanting the lyrics in the rain and all that. And then, you know, the light power dude pulls up and puts the power back on in the whole building. And then we, you know, we get in there and make this incredible record. You know what I'm saying? And we really took our time with it, and that showed the difference, learning each other's, hearing each other's music, and really, you know, it's there goes it, it, it you have to appreciate everything to understand where it's going to go, man. Like, I'm not going to sit here and just give you some shit or give an artist a beat. You know what I'm saying? Either. Like, I don't want to ever do that. I want to, like, build with somebody and make it a good record. Give you your time worth, everything. My time worth. All our names are on it. You know what I'm saying? It's going to live online forever.
That ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
So are you totally against the concept of sending verses back and forth? Or is it like...
It depends, man. If it's certain people you can't get in with, or certain people you have to know that you just trust them. But I mean, for the most part, people are coming to me and getting in with me and wanting to get the input because they see the outcome. You know what I'm saying? Like, we won that show.
Yeah, we won
the competition. My team went to the next round because we all got together and really created something from the ground up. It's not like we just picked a beat and... All right, y'all rap on. All right,
just going to do your thing. That's it.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Damn.
What you got?
This one right here? No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's hot, man.
But I'm
cool,
saying
cool.
When you do, you know, you're not one of those people who are not going to send the email. Because I know people like that. Like, I'm not sending an email. You
I mean,
pull
that,
up
that'll,
like, bro, you tripping.
That'll make or break you, too, at the end of the day. It just depends how you do it. You win some, you lose some. But at the end of the day, you can sleep at night. You know, no one's going to jack you or take your idea or whatever, you know. It could go so many different ways. People, you know, have to work with what they got. So you're going to never know, you know, who you're giving your records to or what could happen if you're doing
careful,
that. You got to be careful,
man.
You
got to be careful.
And you done had a lot of accolades, right, as far as production, right? So you obviously have had, like, what's the milestone that stand out to you where it's like, oh, shit. Like, that shit happened.
Probably when Jay-Z jumped on the I Wanna Rock record.
Crazy.
For sure. Because I didn't know. Everyone was like, oh, that shit ain't gonna happen. Yeah, Jay ain't going to jump on that record, you know. But I actually heard it premiered on the radio for the first time. They didn't tell me.
That's crazy. So you had no heads up.
So we were all shocked about it.
You didn't know shit.
I didn't know anything about it. And I heard it premiere. And that was...
Where was you at? You was in the car?
I was in the car. Yeah,
like,
I was in the
shit,
car.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So, okay, so let me ask you this then. You being from the West Coast, your first interaction with Snoop still don't compare to that, hearing that Jay-Z on your shit.
Yeah, I mean, no, but I mean, Snoop still has something to do with that.
I'm just saying, the Snoop story
was dope too. Being in the trailers at a music video that Snoop was shooting a song called Vato with Pharrell, and Be Real is in the song, so we're in his trailer, and me and my dad are kicking it. They're doing the cameos in the video. Snoop walks in the trailer. My beats are playing in the background. Everybody's chilling, dancing. Snoop starts dancing and freestyling. Just the flyest, you know, the classic Snoop freestyle.
Yeah.
And I'm blown away. You know what I'm saying? I'm a young kid watching this dude rhyme over my pocket, my fucking, you know, my beats.
Damn.
And he's feeling it. And then Ted Chung and them cats are walking in like, hey, pulling me to the side like, yo, we going to take care of you. And make sure you want our shit. But before all that,
shout out to Ted.
Him and my pops. Snoop and my pops were in the car for like an hour, just talking, like, you know, back and forth. And I know he was putting me on with Snoop at that time. And that's how, like,
he's working your shit out.
He was working the shit out on some whole other shit. They go back, man. My I can't really say all that.
My pops was
the hub out here. They called him the hub because they would go and get all they needed to get from pops. So you know what I'm saying?
Yo.
There's a whole nother respect level for my father and real West Coast shit, like, you
we
know, iced teas and
calm
and,
down.
You know what I mean though, man.
Relax.
I can't escape that.
Right.
I can't escape that past, and that's another thing that makes me who I am too.
Yeah.
My street smarts and the things that I've endured as a young man to this point now. You know what I'm saying?
How did you avoid that lifestyle though? You know what I'm saying? Like,
my father never had me around any of that.
Mm.
We were exposed to it, but we weren't never around it like that.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
So
we didn't.
You knew the sense, but you wasn't like in the trenches in the sense of like having to.
Nah.
Gotcha.
He made sure we were taken care of. You know what I'm saying? He did everything he had to do to make sure we had a place to live.
We're gonna put the studio over
all
here,
that.
Y'all motherfuckers. Like, you
the music equipment started coming
in
the crib.
Do his business.
I remember when I got my first PC. You know what I'm saying? A custom tower.
Don't be that guy. Don't fucking brag.
You got to.
I'm bragging right now because this is my story, man. You called me to tell my story. I need to brag, man.
And that's what kept me.
Hey, I had the same disc, man. Yeah, of course. Of course, man. Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Did you have to make a new email every time when you put the America Online shit in?
Yep.
You already know.
Hey, Windows 95 changed the game, though. That was some new
Windows 95.
Windows 95. Come on, dog.
Age, sex, location.
Lupe, what year were you born in?
90s.
See, don't.
I was hopping in chat rooms by the time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's crazy.
I was born in 87.
That's wild, dude. Okay, so with all of this going on, man, you got this new record, Suavecito.
Yes.
Did he say it right?
Yes, you did.
I refuse to pronounce that shit.
I got this shit right.
You can say it, man.
I don't want people to take my Mexican car. You know what I'm saying?
My Mexican car.
Motherfucker right here.
I got a Mexican car, bro. I got off the fucking float on the parade route to get an elote, dog.
Damn,
that's some real LA shit.
Love that flow.
Okay, parade. So is this
yeah, real shit?
This record. Okay, so I think we mentioned it. This is gonna be on your new album, or what's the situation?
Yeah, this is my first installment of the project. Pretty much getting everybody familiar with me as a rapper.
Gotcha.
Because people,
gotcha.
You know,
the production side.
Yeah, it's like you either know or you don't. You know, I had groups and I have, you know, different crews and things that I collab with. So now, you know, this is kind of like the beginning. I'm kind of like going backwards to start over, in a sense, to move forward with everything else.
Is that an easy process to do? Like you said, you have other things that you got going on.
It's hard, man, because you got to learn, you got to know how to balance things. And it's like I said, it is about timing always for everything. So it's just, you know, like the music that we're creating right now, it sounds pretty timeless. Like it's not getting old to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm cool with letting it live like that, because I know it can have its moment still. You know, it could still be fresh to somebody. It might not be fresh to us because we hear it and we've had it for a minute, but it's fresh.
Quick question: when somebody has done something over one of your beats, right? They got a Scoop DeVille beat, and they record a song,
mm-hmm.
and you heard the song, and the song is trash. they fucked your beat up.
Ah.
What do you say to them? Do you tell them like how I would tell them?
I mean, it's or, you. Yeah, you gotta speak. You know.
No, what did you say? I don't know what you said.
I mean, I have to be honest with them. You know, if I'm not feeling it, then I have to let them know that you gotta recut the record.
You told them to recut the whole record.
Yeah, and they're not taking offense to that. They understand it because it's not like I'm just talking shit.
Have you ever told Snoop to recut a verse or a record?
No, but not because I had to, really. He's always kind of been cool with it. Like, recently we had got in and did a record called Back Up, and he wrote it in 30 minutes. That's like, crazy. He was feeling the beat so much that he just and dropped it in his closet, like at his little compound.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He had a little setup studio.
Crazy, dog.
Yeah.
Now, so do you? Or how complete are you with the album? Is it ready to come
out?
Man,
I have a lot of records. You know, I'm kind of sprinkling everything to be finalized. DJ Quick has stepped in and started mixing and mastering everything.
Yeah, man.
So we're like, you know, we're building this certain kind of feel. You know, and it's taken a nice little period of time because, you know, it's becoming more personal and becoming more like passionate together now as a team. And we're figuring out how to, you know, keep it special every time you hear something, you know, because there's a lot of thought process that goes into the lyrics and goes into the beats and the structure and everything. Like, I'm really, you know, taking my time and learning everything as I go.
Now, I was just on Twitter this morning, and shout out to the homie Tahoe. He tweeted something today. He said,
"Ugly ass Tahoe, what up?"
is DJ Quick as big on the East as he is in the West? And I responded back to him, no, because one of my nephews in Virginia, he doesn't know who. I'm sorry. He asked if Sugar Free was big on the East as he is in the West. So do people know him in the East?
Hell no,
they don't. I was like, it's funny because, you know, as much as I praise Quick, my nephew who's from Virginia barely even knows who he is. You know what I'm saying? And I want to get your take as to why that is. Like, why artists that we hold, like, fucking Quick can damn near do no wrong on the West Coast when it comes to, like, Sonics and all that shit, rap and all that.
Well, what's the question? Because he didn't have a mic.
No, you're saying how old is your nephew?
He's actually 26.
It's still young.
Really?
In a sense.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got you. He's not okay. You know, okay. So anybody that's,
but he,
yeah, get that mic for Boz. Go ahead.
I worked his record for Ariston. Yeah, I worked Balance and Options. And
favorite, fuck. I feel like that's
my
the most
favorite
underrated
too.
Fucking
yeah, my
album,
favorite
bro.
Too. But I was the one calling the radio. Mm-hmm. And what I learned at that time is I found out that everybody, all the PDs from New York all the way this way, were huge fans of his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say that,
but
too.
But the story they got back quick. Was we just heard he was difficult to work with from the label.
Oh, okay.
So it made me look crazy because I worked at Arist at the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I beg to differ. Let me reintroduce you to Quick. Right. So I was connecting him with people and realized the music industry, it was their fault. They were afraid of somebody from the West Coast that wasn't Dr. Dre.
That's what it is.
That was popping. Dog Pound was popping. All that was popping. Quick was a blood. Bloods weren't cool.
Yeah.
They weren't popular. You know what I mean? So, like, but I personally talked to a lot of PDs.
It goes deep.
Yeah, all of that.
Like,
so
just
they,
those few bars right there explain a whole lot, a whole time period. So
and that's that,
a whole
that,
era.
That right there is a, and not to mention now, we're talking about 90, that was 99? Balance and Options. You
so
know
here's
what
the question, right? Scoop DeVille, do you think that people should know who these people are from the West? Like, what reason? Like, this is what I always talk to. Like, we have interns and stuff, right? Like at iHeart or whatever, and I always ask them questions. Like, do you feel like the reason why I asked you is about the social responsibility from artists? Even people I notice who get into the business don't feel a responsibility to go back and look at different things and go back and learn and. Go back, you know what I'm saying? It's like, even when I started to DJ, like, I took a year to just learn the craft, right?
Yeah.
I was just an on-air person. I didn't even, I wouldn't even touch the DJing thing. I wouldn't even name myself DJ until I felt like I earned the title. Mm-hmm. So, I think, like, do you think that people, in real life, not what you should do, but do you think people are actually going to do the work? Like, I'm going to go back and listen to old Jam Master Jay.
I think they're just going to do it naturally. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be on YouTube listening to Snoop.
And but don't that comes with...
That's going to go and move to a Quick record, and then that Quick record is going to move to High C and right. Second to None right. and Sugar Free and, you know, Mossberg.
Oh, my God.
You know what
peace.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
And King T and mm-hmm. all these other legends that you might not talk about, but, man, you can't never knock. When you hear those records, nothing ever can come to a sonically one of those records, man. Yeah. Not never.
Yeah.
To this day, to me, my ear, I hear stuff. All the new stuff sounds thin to me, even if it's mixed and pushed to the max that it could be. Every song sounds so big, and you know what I mean. It's like they used all the space in that wave, so there's no room for you to even feel the air of the record.
That's you said for
it's
new
not
records,
breathing. Everything
old...
is just one big sound.
New records, you're saying?
Yeah, new.
Gotcha,
yeah,
gotcha,
new
gotcha.
Records.
I see what you said. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, if you could pull up a wave, say you pull up a wave in a program, mm-hmm. right, a music program, mm-hmm. you're gonna see like a new song. Now is there's gonna be no space. You're not gonna see nothing but
just a
solid
wave.
Oh, fucking
but back then
shit,
you're gonna
see, you're
in
right.
like records like Quick or the Snoop records and Dre, like you actually see everything, but it's huge, but you still see it.
You ever been in with Dre?
Technical. Yeah, I've been in with Dre.
Now, did you fan out or did you hold your shit?
I a little bit of both. A little bit of both.
Did
but
you
he was
like,
actually bigging me up and taking my input. So, you know,
that's a confidence booster like a motherfucker.
Yeah, when he's like, when you know, what do you think, Scoob? And I'm like, oh, go back and recut. Actually, I told Dre to recut
that's
a vocal.
Dre to recut what?
I told Dre to recut a vocal. not anything
that
came
back.
Out, but that's true.
Of course not. It's Dr. Dre.
But
yeah. But, what
but when I told him, he was happy that I said that.
That's dope.
And I didn't just say yes. I didn't yes man him.
Right.
You know
I'm sure
I mean?
He gets
said,
a lot of that too.
One more time and gig in that pocket. Ride the pocket a little earlier. Yeah. I was telling him. He's just like, okay, cool. Right away.
Did you get aggressive when you said, hey, ride that pocket? Hey, Drake.
No. Let me. Now keep it all the way real. On the way home in the car. It's like, yeah, I told that nigga to be
careful. No, not even.
I told that nigga. He rolled that pocket, though. Hey, you heard he rolled
that
pocket,
though. Hey, now that you bring it up, though, kind of.
call your girl like, yo, I told Dre to go recut his fucking verse, and that nigga wouldn't have gotten booed.
Huh, you thought it was Dre Day, it was Scoop Day.
Yeah.
Huh, day?
Right, no, that's some real shit though. Yeah. Man, normally you don't hear those stories. You hear people that go on with Dre, and I, rightfully so. You know, he's.
I wish I could just take everybody that really knows me or like is trying to understand where I come from. I wish y'all could just come with me behind the scenes
come
and
on,
really
us, man.
See
Let's go. Let's go.
What it is.
Let's
you
go,
know
bro.
What I'm saying? Like when you're in the mix, like when we were with Quick, it's a whole nother vibe. Mm-hmm. It's like it's so a level of respect and really appreciating each other for what we do. Mm. Oh man, your pocket is crazy.
Yeah.
Those sounds are crazy. The way you're programming your shit is crazy. You can program your ass off.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, we're sitting there talking to each other about the technical stuff, like how we're talking about the ins and outs.
Yeah.
And you know that those moments for me, that's like that's why I do this, man. I'm not doing it for you to know me.
Yeah.
I'm doing it for that. And then I'm gonna put that into everything that I do. So if you pay attention to it, you see it and hear it, you're going to feel it and know that it's not, it's beyond what you think. You know what I'm saying?
I can imagine that. I interviewed Quick back at K-Day, like in 2010. And right when I'm getting the levels, he's like, hey man, turn it up 7 decibels. I was like, oh shit. All right. Sounded right. It sounded cool, but it's like, I can imagine how those sessions.
How did that make you feel when he put you on the spot though?
Like,
were you just like,
I'm a listener Quick, but I'm just like, fuck.
Wait,
okay.
What?
All right, sure. Why not?
That's how he has me too. He'll have
dope.
Me on my toes. Where
that's
I,
dope.
You know what I'm saying? He'll use lingo like that.
Yeah.
And you really have to pay attention.
Exactly.
And you won't move to the next phase until you figure out what he was saying.
But what I like about you is that you even from the beginning of this interview, and even like you said, from the beginning of your career, you don't mind taking that challenge. You don't mind learning. You know what I'm saying? And that goes beyond any fucking handout that people can possibly say, oh, well, your pops is Kid Frost. Or, oh, man, well, yeah, you were in the – nah, motherfucker, you earned your fucking right. And it's rightfully so with everything that you have going on right now. And I think it's dope that you even now in this place, you're like, no, I want to step out and do some different shit. I really want to now focus on myself and put this shit out and do the way I need to be doing this shit. You know what I'm saying? I commend you for that. That's dope.
Appreciate that.
Two more things that I want to know, and then you can start to close out. I want to know what, because you done made some money. You know what I'm saying?
Get out of his pocket, dog.
I'm in his pocket.
Get out of his pocket.
Dre was in his pocket. So look, like, what's the dumbest thing? Well, what's something that you spent money on that you probably regret? You know, I shouldn't have bought that. I shouldn't have did that. I shouldn't have went to Vegas with that bitch. I shouldn't have, you know what I mean? Just something like.
Oh, man.
Or too many things.
I don't know, man. Maybe.
Give me one thing where you was like, that stand out to you, like, I shouldn't have did that.
Maybe buying some equipment, like, you know, hardware equipment that really, you know, I should have took my time, but I had to have it right away. And it's like, you know, these things are like $5,000, $6,000, but they're like, you know, they're like little VCR size, you know, components.
So
but
you
they,
just bought equipment. You went
just
damn.
Equipment that you run stuff through just to get that sound.
Outboard gear.
Yeah, like outboard gear and, you know, that kind of stuff. My, you know, synthesizers.
That's
and,
not dumb, that's though. That's investing in your craft.
Yeah, that's not dumb.
I'm talking about frivolous shit.
I don't know, man. I haven't really got too crazy with it yet. Like,
okay,
I'm,
that's cool.
You know,
I ain't got too crazy with it
yet. I ain't got too
that's
crazy
good,
with
though.
The money
That's
yet.
Good that
yeah.
you invest back into what the fuck you got going on.
That's I have to, man, because that's going to continue to make it go. And you know, in this day and age now of kind of being an independent, you know, any type of business, it's like you gotta know all that. You know
and
what
the
I
second
mean?
Thing I want to know, and then you could say, who can't get a Scoop DeVille beat?
Who can't? I mean, really, if it's I've taken a
or a verse.
I took in a long time to get to this place. So really, you gotta come correct with your talent.
I'm talking about even if they're talented. No matter what.
I have a right to say no, man. I could.
No, I'm talking about
the money. It's not about the money, really.
No.
You know what I'm
saying?
Money.
I'm talking about as of today, under no circumstances can this person have a beat or a verse.
It depends, man. It really, it's political. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's political. Okay.
It's political.
And he busted that Missy. Say, Ish F, she fluff. I gotta say that shit. Hey, fuck that.
You start backpedaling like Dios.
Yeah, it's political.
That's smart, though. That's smart.
Yeah, no. Nah,
now, I'm just curious to know what's your top five. Well, you know what? Let's do top three.
Three is better. Three is harder.
But no, but I'm gonna say producer, artist. Producer slash artist. Who's your top three?
Okay. Let's see. Egyptian Lover, DJ Quick, and D Nice.
Crazy.
Wow. That's a fucking. I've never heard that three. I mean, I've heard quick.
Yeah. Nah, that's respect, though.
Yeah, those respect. Two, I've never heard anybody. We've been doing this shit. How long have we been doing this shit?
Five. I mean, shit depends. 10 years.
10 years. I ain't never heard nobody say that, ever.
But see, that again, yeah, all right. That goes to the shit that you actually study this craft. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Now, do you have a specific date that you're looking at putting the project out?
Shit, like, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, go back to, like, you know, Rogers and Quincy's and that kind of production level too. You know what I'm saying? Of people who were making like full records with bands.
You're a real musician.
I want to be. Yeah. That's
the
goal.
How many instruments do you play?
I mean, I really at this point, dude, I just pick it up and strum it until it figures itself out. If I don't know how to play it to a point, like, I'll just pick it up and learn and feel it. You
know
what
are you the most comfortable on right now?
I mean, keys and drums. Okay. And yeah, I mean, really just using everything, not really having any
motherfucker pick up a flute and be like,
yeah, there's nothing that can that exactly like I picked up an accordion the other day and started like, you know, making these crazy sounds, and it was crazy. It was like, wah! I was like, oh, this hard. It just sounded like a bunch of horns running through, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, there's really no right or wrong way to do shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm using new technology, I'm using old technology. It's everything. Everything is everything.
Now, I'm sorry. I keep thinking of different shit before we can close out, but the technology side of it, because that's we were talking about the new versus old, and you were saying, like, to a certain extent, like, all from the artist standpoint, you only listen to motherfuckers that are dead right now. You know, that's the shit that you listen to.
I don't want
to
say all the way.
I know, but I know what you meant.
Nah, like, yeah,
people who I really respect and
you don't respect
be
them
like
in hip hop until they dead.
No, that's not true. I'm just fucking with you. Not true.
He going for the fucking what's that shit?
Yeah, clickbait.
The clickbait.
Yeah. Scoop DeVille only listen to motherfuckers who are dead.
I mean it's
tonight at 11.
Yeah, right? Nah, I mean there's everything for everything. I'm listening to things that aren't necessarily like your popular choices of music, but to me, they move me. And I feel like, you know, I always try to keep my ear to the street so I can understand what's to come. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to like jack that and put it into mainstream music. Like I want it to all come from a real place. I want to appreciate and feel like I'm doing this for a reason, or have the value. I don't want to never lose this value or this passion that I have.
But the point I was making is that social media and technology now makes it easy for an artist to get on, an artist to put themselves out there, independent or not. What are your thoughts on that side of it, making it the fact that it is so easy for somebody to get on?
I think it's a gift and a curse at the same time. Yeah. It's all how you use it, because you can easily put something right at the moment at this time that's hot because it's the sound or whatever, but that don't necessarily mean it's going to be here forever. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like going left a little bit than everybody going this way. I'm going to go this way real quick. I'm going to use these sounds that you ain't using. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make it unique to where you don't know where it's going to come from. You just know it's going to feel special. And that's the whole thing for me, is that, like, there's so much out there. There's so much inspiration and sound. Like, you know what I mean? It ain't just America either. It's the whole world got fire. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
It's around.
And rhythms that move all of us, and we can't help but to move. That's why all this, you know, island music is happening right now, and everyone's, you know, oh my God, finally, it's coming back, and it's saying, what do you mean? It's popping right now. We just got back from Jamaica with the Marleys, you know what I'm saying? And that's been happening for years.
He flexed real quick.
That was
you
nice
know what I'm saying?
Right there.
And that's a flex to say that, hey, we're working on some authentic reggae shit too. You know what I'm saying?
A plug right there.
Yeah, of course.
But do you have a date for the album as of right now?
You know what? There's really no date yet, but it's all getting wrapped up, so be expecting it very soon, like in the next, I want to say the next couple of few months.
This particular label, or you just by yourself?
This is independent thing right now, so it's going to come from me, and really, you know, there's really no telling, man. I want it to be kind of natural. I don't want people to think that it's privileged. I want you to really like it. I want you to like it for yourself, not because I'm a son or of somebody.
Yeah,
or, you know,
he's not privileged, dog.
Oh, nah. No, he definitely got advantages.
He's fucking up. You ain't no privilege over here,
he
bro.
He was in the studio with fucking Ice-T. That's some shit. That's I ain't never met Ice-T. I want to meet Ice-T.
Ice-T's the reason why my father's who he is, because they were rhyming with each other back then. They used to battle each other, and then they turned into a rap group, and you know that's how he started off with his whole thing back in the day.
That's wild, dude.
Yep. Shout out to Ice-T.
He was talking shit back in the day.
Who?
Ice-T.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, my
for
God. Sure. Anyway.
All right, now, so the year can't end without Scoop DeVille doing what?
What'd you say?
The year can't end without Scoop DeVille doing what? So we like to put people on, you know, put the pressure on you.
Yeah.
So we can look back in a year and say, damn, okay.
He didn't even do shit.
Nah, yeah. Just, I mean, the year.
The year make
can't,
you accountable.
The year can't end without me putting this record out. And, okay. And
so the album's coming in 2017.
Yeah, absolutely.
There it is.
Oh, so, but you said no, you don't know.
Multiple albums, man.
Oh,
it's really,
shit.
I have a lot of music. So, and I've been building. Not before 2017, but I've been building with a lot of artists. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? I've been building with all kinds of people. Yeah. So, you know, I'll get little verses here and there and save them for my stuff or, you know, vice versa. We'll work on their stuff and you know, I mean, I'm collecting all this sound, but it's all very recent stuff that I've been all working on.
Is there a dream collab that you have at this point? Because you say you've had Jay-Z on the record, obviously.
It would probably be outside of hip hop, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. A dream collab would just be like somebody who's really taken serious in music, like you know. I don't know. I would have to say maybe like an Adele or something.
Gotcha,
you know what I mean?
That's dope.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Question real quick before we sign off. Okay, so this is something that came up, and I wanted to just get your opinion on it real quick, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to read this to you, and then you tell me what you think.
Okay.
This nigga.
It says...
I'm scared, bro. I don't even know what the fuck happened.
Everyone's on physical. Yeah. Right now. I'm good. Go ahead, bro.
It says... Well, are you in a relationship?
No.
It says... Who does a man love more, a woman he lies to or a woman he tells the truth
to?
Oh, man, that's a good question, man.
I will catch you guys next week.
that's a little deep for me, man. That's like, I don't know,
just
man.
Think about it. Just think about it. Process your moves.
Process your moves.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you might be a piece of shit.
No, okay, yeah, true.
But
let's say probably somebody I would be more truthful with, right? That you love the
so
person
you,
that
so
I
you,
love, I would be more truthful with.
So you're saying that if you love her, you would be more, you would be honest with her as opposed to lies or white lies, whatever. It
yeah, was. Honesty is the best way to always be, man. Right. Even if it hurts, you know what I'm saying. At
for
least
sure.
you're it's up front and everybody's aware.
So she walk in the room, babe. Do I look fat in this dress? What do you say?
I'm not gonna give her that.
What if she look like a fucking barnacle?
If she's my girl, I'm not gonna diss her. I'm gonna motivate her.
So you're lying.
But it's a nice lie.
No, you that's
and
not
it's not
fuck.
Really a lie.
Oh, that,
what,
no,
if
no,
I, what if that's what I like? What if
bullshit.
That's my shit?
Listen,
I'm saying though, like you know what I mean.
Nah, I don't know what you mean. Nah. I don't know what you mean.
You almost got out of it, though.
Yeah, I almost did.
He said, but what is, that's what I like. I'm like, you didn't say you like that shit, though.
Hey, how can they get in contact with you? Instagram,
ahead,
Twitter.
Bro,
how can they find you? You've got a web, obviously the social media, but if you have a website as well that they can run
this,
to.
Yeah, I have fun doing this, man. You can hit me online. Everything is Scoop DeVille. You know, we've been on online MySpace since back
man.
In the day. So that whole social change, I mean, I am a part of that. You know what I'm saying? Like the beginning stages of that.
Everything at
Scoop DeVille.
Did you have anything before MySpace?
No.
He got a Black Planet. He's a piece of shit.
I didn't know.
Mi gente?
I didn't have
it.
Is that a real
thing? Yeah, it is.
Really?
They had an Asian one. They had a Mexican one. Mm-hmm. And then they had the Black Planet, obviously. So I didn't
Black
know.
Planet. Yeah. You got a Black Planet page?
No, I did not.
Just MySpace.
Just the MySpace, yeah.
All right, man. Shit, this was fun, man. Appreciate you coming on through.
What your DMs look like?
Oh, shit.
Let me see your phone.
Swiss Beats.
All right, look, we got all the past episodes. Check them out. We're on iTunes, Google Play.
We are officially on iTunes and Google Play, bitch.
Yeah, man. Check it out.
Your producer's favorite producer.
There you go. Scoop DeVille in the house. At Homegrown
right
Radio on everything social media-wise.
I know people like him.
It's about time. We up out of here, man. Thank you for coming through, Scoop.
Absolutely. Anytime. I'll come back and rock with you guys.
Absolutely, man.
Thank you for having me.